Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there, truckers. Welcome to Redneck and I's, all things trucking and then some. Hope you enjoy the show.
Eastern Time. You can call in at 515-602-9731. Appreciate everybody listening along. Also, go check out our website, redneckandeyes.com, and don't forget also to go subscribe to our YouTube channel. We appreciate everybody doing that. Man, I tell you what, it's been great stuff for us. We're really excited about what's going on with that and everything. So just a reminder that we're here live every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, just for an hour. We go over kind of look what's going on in the latest news, what's everybody up to. If you got anything to say about what's going on in the world and everything, talking about laws and living on the road and just different kind of things, you know, what's going on with the truck stops, the fuel prices, load rates, all that kind of good stuff. And then on Sundays here, we get back. Now, we are recording this show on the cameras so that we can later edit it up and put it on YouTube, and that's for later use. But it is live radio show. You call in 515-602-9731. And if you've got anything to say about what we're talking about or you got anything to say about what you want to talk about, just let us know. Be part of the conversation, just hit one. And we appreciate everybody doing that for us. And that's going to be Sunday evenings. And it's going to be a little longer, you know, kind of to kicking back, see what's going on and see who's all getting and called in and everything. So we just started this here, you know, a while back. We were trying to get it ready for the truck show and everything like that. And of course we led up to the truck show and everything was busy, busy, busy. And now we're kind of just kind of getting things rolling where it's talking about, you know, what's going on and trying to keep it going, trying to grow it. And I think it's a good thing for drivers to be able to talk to other drivers instead of calling in the radio station and you're calling into a guy that, you know, he might know what you're talking about. He might not, you know, whatever. But it is a radio station where it's kind of like, oh, sorry, I got to take a break and everything. And we can talk here, you know. I mean, I record it for later use, and that later use, I mean, we can cut and splice and all that. But, you know, if you just want to talk, man, we can talk. So let me know. Hey, also on redneckandeyes.com, you can get links to all of our great sponsors. And one of our great sponsors I like to mention, that's DPF Regeneration. You can check them out at dpfregeneration.com, or you can give them a call, and that's 800-634-3010. They're open Monday through Friday, 7:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. They're also open on Saturday, 7:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. Now, DPF Regeneration, those are diesel particulate filter, and they do all of the cleaning for all these filters. And the cool thing about it is, you know, it's kind of like one of them things where these days there's so much going on and everybody's so busy, it's hard to get them stay, you know, they need to be cleaned. What you do is you get some downtime, you overnight the filter to them, and then they clean it and they overnight it back to you. Quick turnaround time like that. The best part is it's in a clean lab. The facility is clean, the machines are clean, and they actually like take the time to actually make sure it's clean. I don't know if you've ever been in there. I've been in one of those shops before to where, you know, they've got a machine sitting in the corner of the shop and it's dirty. It doesn't get serviced as often as it should. It's small. It's probably not very powerful. And they, you know, they just go off of what the salesman comes in there and sets it up for them and everything like that. And he goes, all you got to do is open this door here, stick that filter in there, flick that switch, and then it's done. And it's not. Okay, it's not. I was talking with a shop a while back where they just got into doing that because they had a guy. He was kind of like their inside guy where he was the computers and he would be part of like, you know, they already had somebody doing like the billing and the appointments and everything, but he was supposed to be the guy setting up their website and kind of more of a computer guy than he was a bookkeeping guy. And he did have a little time, and he was trying to make himself more valuable. And he's like, you know what? I can operate this machine. And so me and him were talking a little bit, and he was like, you know, this, you can't just stick it in there and go. You have to go in and monitor it. You have to watch it. And it's like baking cookies. You got to stick it in the machine. You got to let it do its process, and then you got to check on it. And then you got to reevaluate it and reset it and everything. And then you got to let it go again, and then you got to check on it. Then you got to keep checking on it. And he goes, I spend most of my time actually just trying to, like, each machine, each time the machine does the operation, it has to be calibrated for each particular filter because they're all different sizes. And then you use, like, an air hose to blow out the dirt. And it's not just, like, blow it out, then stick it in, and then pull it out, blow it out, and you're done. It's a process. You blow out the soot and everything, and then stick it back in. And then blow out the soot again and stick it back in. So yeah, it's a process. So when I started thinking about, well, you know what needs to happen is that when somebody has the process down of cleaning these things, then, you know, that needs to be done more often, and then it's like taking care of the equipment. So when I saw DPF Regeneration, I was like, you know, that's the ones. That's what they're doing. You know, you're always wondering how do they make all their money? I know what they're doing. And not only that, they got parts too. They got the charge air coolers. They got the turbo chargers, and they got all that stuff where you can call in and get parts, and they know the parts. You know, they've got a lot of experience dealing with diesel engines over the years. So it's not just with the new engines. It's every engine, every diesel engine, all sizes too. If you got a pickup truck with a diesel and you need to get it worked on, maybe you want to start learning how you do it yourself, or you want to learn the new parts and the new service, new system, get with them because they got it all over there. Like I said, 800-634-3010, dpfregeneration.com. Give them a call. Appreciate it. So I'm not really doing much nothing else, man. I got back. I work nights, and I work on Friday night, and then I get back home. And Saturday, didn't really do much, you know. Spent some time with some friends, and then went out riding a little bit. And then this morning, got up, went out riding some more. And then I was tired. So I came home and took a nap. So I'm just going to get in with that. And then I had to get back here and get up with the show and everything. We're doing a lot of good with the show during the week, because not only can we record it with what we got going on, but then we can also post it to the other formats. We're on Facebook Live every day. we weren't able to use the Zoom Friday because of the technical issues that we had with the it was the memory. I'm running low on memory in certain folders, and I've got to move some files around. So, and I hadn't done that yet. So when I got to get that done. But when I couldn't use the Zoom, I was like, well, you know what? Let's just go on YouTube and let's record it too. So I can do Facebook Live and YouTube Live together separately. And on the Zoom, I can't do that. And like, it's funny. Some of the websites or some of the services that you have, you know, if you use something like so audio, right? All of your applications, all of your software is using the audio at the same time. You know, if you're playing Spotify on your computer and you're on Facebook on the computer, you get a message on Facebook, it'll still ding, right? You'll still hear it over your music at that time. Well, the funny thing is Zoom takes hold of your camera and won't let any other service use that camera. So it won't do it unless you're going through Zoom. So Zoom, that's my bone to pick with you. All the other services allows the camera to be used. It might be a quality thing. Like Zoom says, you know what? We want the best quality for our service. So there's not a good way where we can allow you to use the camera for anything else other than Zoom while you're using Zooms so that we can maintain a high quality. If that's your excuse, that's fine. You know, other places have done that where it's like we want ours to be the best quality while you're using it, and so we're not allowing it to be used with anything else. Or we don't use it with certain things, certain devices or whatever. But I went out purposely and I went out and bought a bigger like PC. You know, who buys a PC anymore? Who buys the actual like monitor and box with the computer in it and the keyboard? I got the keyboard and the mouse right here. Who does that anymore, right? Everybody's off of laptops or tablets, smartphones. You can do everything, you know. Most people I know that do like podcasts or any kind of videos, I mean, they got the tripod with the phone and the phone, they're using the phone for everything. I went out and I bought, cause I was learning how to do podcasts and learning how to record things. And so I can do YouTube Live and everything. And they're telling you to get these cameras, get the camera set up, get the audio set up, get the mic set up and the sound card, soundboard, all that stuff. So I did that. And, so far that's working out pretty good. So, you can do that. There are other softwares. I might get into other different softwares that I could use where I can control more of it rather than using Zoom. But Zoom is easy because if we got anybody else that participates in one or wants to participate in the podcast and they want to use Zoom to be on video, I can do that through the Zoom. So that's what we're doing that. But yeah, a lot of technical learning going on over here because, like I said, we're new at doing this. You know, we're truck drivers. We're truck drivers trying to make it work. So, you know, that's what we do. But you can give us a call here, 515-602-9731, kicking back, you know, what's going on, where you been, where are you going, and how things going out there. Fuel prices are still pretty up. They're pretty high. Everybody's talking about the, you know, there's just the way things are out of control, fuel prices. And rates are not quite there. Freight's falling off where there's not a lot of freight to haul. You know, a couple of drivers that I know that they got sent home. They're company drivers. And when there was no freight, they got sent home. They said, oh, we don't have enough freight for you, so go ahead and go on home. And, you know, they did that kind of deal. So we're like, oh, crap, oh, whatever, you know. But that's the way things go. So let's see here. There you go. How about that? Rocking and rolling. So yeah, just call in, 515-602-9731. Don't forget to go check out our website, redneckandknives.com. The kind of links to all of our social media, especially YouTube. Go subscribe to our YouTube channel. We appreciate everybody doing that. All of our links to our sponsors are on the website as well. Don't forget, check out dpfregeneration.com. DPF Regeneration, the one source for diesel filter cleaning. And you can give them a call at 800-634-3010. Check them out, dpfregeneration.com. Oh, excuse me. So dpfregeneration.com, we appreciate them doing that. So we're just going to keep on rocking and rolling here. And check us out. We're Redneck and the Guys. I just woke up. We're Redneck and Eyes Radio. Hang tight.
If there's an ambush up ahead and you see Smokey's lights flashing red, remember Trigger and me will be by your side. Ride, Concrete Cowboy, ride. The open highway is your range. 10-4, little buckaroo, and happy trails. cowboy run. All those bad guys that I faced at the Saturday matinee, you and me and a million saddle pals, with a never empty gun, we kept those outlaws on the run. Remember how we fought and rode until we had them all corralled. So ride, country cowboy, ride the open highway. And poor little buckaroo, and happy, happy trails to you. Ride, country cowboy, ride. Ride, country cowboy,
A lot of rolling wheels and shifting gears around that Jersey Turnpike. Barney stopped me with his gun 10 minutes after midnight. Said, sir, you broke the lemon in his rusty old truck. I don't know about that accent, son. Just where did you come from? I said, where I come from, it's cornbread and chicken. Where I come from, a lot of front porch sitting. Where I come from, trying to make a living, working hard.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? This is Dave with Ridiculous Radio. We're here live. It's Sunday evening. And we appreciate everybody joining along. You call in 515-602-9731. Be part of the conversation. Just hit one. Just listen along. We're just talking about what's going on out there. What's everybody doing? I tell you what, if you think you had a bad week or a bad weekend, you just didn't have that much fun. That's okay, because CDLLife.com had an article come out that said roadside inspection leads to arrest for teen truckers after Tennessee troopers find cocaine. And we're like, and my first thought was, is that they probably were just using it to stay awake so they keep driving. No. It says the Tennessee Highway Patrol recently arrested a truck driver and his co-driver after finding illegal drugs during a commercial vehicle safety inspection. The arrest happened on May 9th, 2022 in Henderson County, Tennessee. According to the Tennessee Highway Patrol, a trooper stopped a semi-truck along I-40 for a roadside safety inspection. It says during the inspection, the trooper discovered 20 kilos of cocaine. Party on, Garth. So the truck driver, this is where I don't know, Euclid Aquino Yucera, 26, from Florida, and co-driver is El Minier, I think that's De Los Santos, 31, from New Jersey, were arrested. The incident remains under investigation. And they sent out a tweet with a picture, and it's got 20 keys laid across the hood of their patrol car next to the big truck. And, of course, you know, it points out all the things and everything in the tweet. So we retweeted that on Redneck and Eyes. Redneck and Eyes 12 is, I think, the Twitter handle, but we're also on there. And just a funny little tweet out there sent out on May 9th. That might have been, it was sent out May 11th last week. So, like I said, thank goodness that you weren't out there trafficking drugs and then got a safety inspection. What is it called? Road check, I think, is happening this next week. Everybody's talking about how they're trying to get rid of that or get ready for it, and everything. I do a lot of dropping hooks. So there's a lot of times where we'd make jokes about, oh, we got a piece of crap old trailer, and everything. And so we're talking about, hey, you know what? We need to take those trailers and hide them in the back of the yard so the yard dogs don't grab them and use them, so that we can have new trailers for the safety inspection blitz. And it's funny to me, a lot of people think about it, a lot of people don't, and I told them, I said, well, I don't really think about it. I'm in South Texas. I may get jinxed because I said that, but I mean, there's a lot of places that don't really worry about it that much. And maybe they should. We were talking about this the other day, is that if all of these safety blitzes, they announce them, they say, hey, from this day to this day, we're going to be doing some roadside blitzes. So everybody be aware. And it's like, well, if you really wanted to catch people doing stuff they shouldn't be doing, then don't tell nobody you're coming out there, and everything. And, I don't know. It's funny to me. I always think about it. Every time you see cop cars, like you see the special ones where it's a solid black car or a solid blue car. You cannot see any writing on the car. You could tell it's got the spotlight on it. It's got lights in the window dash and everything, or somewhere in the window or in the grill. They're not actually sitting on top of the car or anything. They're all hidden away and everything. And we know that there's ways they can do that. We know how, I remember when I was in school, some of my friends were actually sons of cops or firefighters, and so they had access to those books. I forget, what was it called? Was it GATS or something like that? Was it called like that? I can't remember now, but it was like a police gear and police lights and all that stuff, and you can get like the vests, or you can buy bags, tactical gear, and all that. And then they had the lights, and they had the switches and all that. And I mean, you could buy strobes and all this stuff. And it was where you drill a hole into the plastic housing of the headlight or the taillight, and then you put the other light in there, so that way it turns into a strobe. you know, or nowadays they probably got it where you just pull out the new bulb or the old bulb and put a new bulb in it, and now you got a strobe light, you know, because LEDs all and all that. But anyway, they got it all like that. And I remember back, it was right around the late 90s where they were making fun of that. People were saying, you know, cop cars in the United States today, they try to catch us in the act. So they got all these undercover cars where they try to catch you in the act. Even the cop cars that have lights on them, you can't really see the writing on the cop car. They want the cop car to look like a regular car more than anything. And then they put a picture of the European police cars. And they're like blue and yellow, checkered board, black and white checkered. They do not look like a regular car. You can just tell, right? And it's kind of thing where if they were really worried about safety and everything, then they would want you to see us. You know, if they're really worried about stopping crime, the best way to stop crime is to be around. If, you know, it's kind of like if you're out there doing something, you know, if it wasn't like even when we were kids, you know, and you had somebody up to no good doing something, you know, if they knew they weren't going to get told on, they kept doing it. They kept doing it in front of all the kids because the kids wouldn't say anything because, you know, you're not supposed to tattletale, you know. And one of them things where if they knew they were going to get told on, they never would have done it. And then what do you call you see that all the time, that if as long as they know they're not going to get caught, or they seem to think that they're not going to get, you know, nobody's going to see them do it, or nobody with authority is going to see them do it, then they'll keep doing it. As long as they see somebody there, you know, it's kind of like you always tell them, you know, hey, don't go smoke joints behind that alley over there because the cops are sitting right there, you know, and all that. So it's kind of like, well, you know what would be better is if we said, you know, hey, don't worry about trying to hide to catch somebody in the act. Make sure they're there and nobody will ever do anything. But that's not what we do here. In the system we've created, it's let's sit in the corner real quiet. Nobody sees us, and we're going to wait for somebody to do something wrong. And then we're going to go catch them in the act, because if we catch them in the act, then we can justify prosecuting them, the judges, and doing all that work, and then we can justify giving them a fine and make some money and all that stuff like that. Especially in the white collar stuff, you know, they always say, you know, they have really lax laws, and that way when they catch them doing something, they can fine them and make, you know, give them big fines or whatever. And I think that's probably the problem with the system. And going around now, what we see now is we're learning that the education system is that way, you know, where it's you know, now I'm getting on a rant because it's like the government systems that have been created are not for what they say they're for. They're not for safety. They're not for stopping crime. They're for catching you in the act. You know, that's what they're for. I've always said this all along. Speed limits have nothing to do with safety, because if they did, then they would be much lower. The speed limits are saying don't go this much faster than this, or we'll give you a ticket. We'll fine you. We'll make you pay money. And it's always been that, you know, hey, you know what? A person that can drive, you know, they can pretty much drive, and we shouldn't have to worry about, you know, them driving that fast. But guess what? We can actually monitor their speed from another location. And when they break the law, we can fine them, make them pay money. And we're like, hey, that's a way to make money. Let's do it. So, I don't know. It's just kind of one of them things where I just kind of get fired up about it, especially the cop cars. You know, we're always hidden, the cars around here. Everybody's hiding, you know. Everybody's trying to cover things up, like, don't tell nobody I'm here. You know, I'll catch them in the act, and it just irritates the hell out of you. You know, if you had somebody sitting there, oh, don't do it, the cops are right there, you know. So yeah. But that's what we're talking about. We're talking about road blitz, the inspections coming up, and like I said, they've announced it. So it's kind of the point where, if you pay attention to what's going on, then you probably should never, ever have to worry about a fine or getting caught being placed out of service. You never should have a problem with being placed out of service if you know that the road check's coming. But people get placed out of service all the time. It's amazing. I don't understand it. But that's how it works. I mean, they announce, we're going to be inspecting vehicles from this day to this day. Everybody be aware, and everybody's made aware. They put it out everywhere. They're talking about I don't know.
I guess if you watch the regular Channel 6 news, you might not, or, you know, the 6 o'clock news, whatever, you might not know it. You know, if you're watching CNN or Fox News, you might not know it. But if you're paying attention to the trucking websites or the trucking Facebook pages or whatever, if you're paying attention to this, you know what's coming. You know, if anything, just go home. If you know you're going to have a problem and you don't want to get hassled, just go home. Take that week off. You know, that's pretty much what I did. And it wasn't that I could pass inspection. That's not the problem. The problem was I just don't want the hassle. Because what we know is that if you got a problem, if you don't have any problems on your truck, they can find something. They can find something. There's all kinds of rules the way they're written. It's a technical term, you know, technical use, you know. I mean, you're going to find something wrong. There's always been the rumors that even brand new trucks right off the line will have something wrong DOT-wise and everything. So yeah, it's just the hassle, the time. You know, you're going to get pulled in and they're going to sit here and wait for somebody to come out here and inspect you. You know, that's just pain in the butt. You know, so if you have a choice as an owner-operator, as most owner-operators do, then just go, you know, take some time off. I'd like to see more owner-operators do that, because then that way they would see it. They would see what those inspections do when they announce it and people just go home. You know, I mean, even as a company driver, if you have the choice of taking time off, you know what? I'm just going to take my time off from here to here. And the boss is like, well, why are you doing that? Why don't you take it off on a normal time like on this time? No, because they're going to do inspections and I don't want to mess with it, so I'm just going to go home. And the owner of the company was kind of like, you know what? Yeah, you're right. You know, that's no big deal. Or if you're a bigger company and you have put in the home time, you know, I don't know. Somebody explained to me this. Is it changing now? Or used to, you would set your home time. If you were out on the truck for 2 to 3 weeks or a month at a time, you would tell them, I'm going to take from this day to this day off. And it would be whatever days you're allotted, which sometimes it was one day per 7 days out, you got one day off. So you would stay out, you know, 7, 14, 21 days, I get 3 days off. And they would say no more than 4 at a time. So you can go home for 4 or whatever. So you would pick the days. Now I'm getting told a lot of people that they tell you they pick the days. You can't go home except when we tell you to. We're going to give you your time off, but we're not going to allow you to take whatever day you want. And that's that was weird to me. There was a lot of people talking about it. I mean, when I was actually, I remember when I was at Swift there, we had a lot of leeway. I mean, like if I had drivers running good miles, like if I was in charge of a fleet of drivers and I had a driver running good miles where he was always running 12 to 15,000 miles a month. And as a company driver, that is freaking awesome. Okay. Anything above 8,000 was considered doing well for Swift Transportation. If you were over 10,000, then you were a top class driver. They loved you. That you could do anything you wanted as long as you ran 10,000 miles a month. And I knew drivers, they could take 5 days off. They could take 6 days off a month and still run 10,000 miles a month, you know, and all that. So if you're one of those drivers where you could run those miles and you always had those miles and you always had a good rapport where you're never late, you know, no accidents, stuff like that. So you said, I'm going to take my time off, right? Take your time off 3-4 days, whatever. You come back to work that morning that you say you're going to. That's another big thing that a lot of drivers couldn't do it. They couldn't say, I'm going to go home on Thursday and I'll come back on Monday morning. No problem. Monday morning come, nothing. And then next thing you know, they're being told that if they want to take time off, they have to bring the truck to the yard. And they're like, why are you doing that? I said, because it took you 2 days. You said you were going to come back Monday. You didn't come back till Wednesday. Right? Nowadays, I think they can get the truck even after a day. We were going to get trucks. We had to go get trucks. But anyway, so if you were a good driver where you're taking 4 days off, you show back up on Monday and you're like, hey, I'm ready to go back to work. You go down the road. You're somewhere, you know, maybe you went out. Maybe you live in Dallas and you went up to Denver and then you went over to Kansas City and now you're in Kansas City and somebody calls and says, hey, you need to come home. We got a problem. And you call your buddy up and say, or you call your dispatcher and say, you know, hey, I got a problem. I need to get home. You know, you've only been out like maybe 3 or 4 days and you're like, you know what? I got to go home. Something just came up. And first off, you probably understand that you can't get a load right to the house. It might take you a day or two to get home. You know, especially, you know, they might have to route you to Memphis or something from Kansas City, as long as you're okay with that. You know, if I was a good driver manager and you were sitting in Kansas City and you told me you needed to get home to Dallas as soon as possible, I wasn't going to send you to Chicago unless I had something for you, you know, to move you. I wasn't going to send you to New York, you know, because I knew you had to get home. So, you know, it's kind of like as soon as you did that, you got on the phone to the person that was in charge of the loading the freight out of Kansas City and say, listen, I got a problem. And they would try to make it happen. And a lot, I mean, and I've done that where I've had a driver sitting in Kansas City. He needed to go to Dallas. And you call up they call them planners. They were load planners is what they call them. And I said, I need to get to Dallas as soon as possible. And he goes, listen, I got a hot load going to Chicago. He does that. I got this load coming out of Chicago. It takes you right to Dallas. And I'm like, boom, put them on. So told the driver, go handle this to Chicago, and then you come ride to Dallas. As long as you're okay with that and everything. And sometimes you got to be, right? And, you know, they would let drivers take time off like that if you were good drivers, you know. I remember in the orientation a couple of times I would say that Swift was always good about trying to get you home when you needed to get home as long as you were doing good. And there was a lot of carriers that said, we got programs, you know, like you can, you know, we're going to pay you pretty good and you're going to have good benefits. The problem is that when we tell you to go out for 14 days, you're out for 14 days. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. It's like there's no guarantee at all that you can get back by the house at all. Like, no, we're not doing that. You know, once you leave the house on Monday, you're not getting back till the next Friday. You know, so I was always thought that these places should be good about trying to get drivers home. And I think these days they are, because that's what it's all about. It's all about getting home, you know, so, and especially when you need to, you know. I remember one of the biggest problems that Swift had, I never had a problem with it. I don't know why. A lot of drivers, and like when they have, what do they call them? What do they call those? The surveys. Had a survey, and what's your biggest problem? Getting home when I need to. Getting home when I say I need to be home. Like, or getting home when you say you're going to get me home. Like, okay, I'm going out. Let's go ahead and say that I'm coming out on this Monday. I need to be back home for my 3 days off on this date, you know, whatever date it is. And you set that. And we can go into the system and we can actually set that date, and it has a little countdown of days next to the driver's name. So whenever the driver's truck gets pulled up, it has the driver's name, where they live, and how soon they need to get home. And it'll highlight, like as it gets down to like 10 and 5, it'll change colors and all that stuff. And you're supposed to be able to know that. And so they said that's the biggest problem. Nobody was doing that. Nobody was listening to that. And, of course, a lot of times you pull up a truck and it would be like negative 50 because the driver manager, the person that's in charge of that driver, is not keeping up with that. Like, when does the driver need to be home? What day is it? You know, and when it's in the negative like that, especially if it's like negative 10, like I remember one driver manager, they were in charge of a fleet of drivers. Most of them were owner-operator. All of their owner-operators all said negative 2. Every day, you would pull up a driver. She purposely went in there and changed the home time to negative two, because the owner operators, they always wanted to come right back to the home base. That's what they wanted to do. They wanted to come to the home base, leave out, come right back, leave out, come right back. They didn't want to go too far from the home base. And that way they can just run by the house for an hour or two, whatever, whenever they wanted. And so she always kept it at negative two. That way, whoever was in charge of getting freight for that truck, they would say, oh, listen, that driver needs to go home. That driver's due home time. Get him right back to home time. A couple of them didn't fall for it. You know, they looked up the routing of the truck, like where the truck's been. And it's like, that truck just came from the house, you know, stuff like that. But that's how they did it. So the driver still complained that that wasn't being done. So they had the computer create the system to where the computer would take over and automatically recommend freight for the truck to get the truck home. And it still, you know, was a pain in the butt. And I think that's probably what is leading to me, that's probably the biggest problem with driver turnover right now, is it's over-the-road trucks. They don't have a lot of – they need drivers to run over the road, which is exactly why they're going to autonomous, because of the over-the-road freight. You know, if you run regional or you run a shuttle or you run local, I wouldn't worry about autonomous right now unless it's, you know, it's mainly it's that stuff that, you know,
that you got to run over the road. You got to go from Phoenix to Colorado, or, you know, Phoenix to Denver to, what do you call Chicago, you know, Chicago to Georgia, that kind of stuff. You know, they don't like that. The drivers don't like hauling that freight because you're going up and down all the way. And a lot of it's time sensitive too. And they want teams on it and stuff like that. And it's just harder to find drivers to do that. So nowadays it's like, well, how can we get you? How can we entice you to take that? Well, you're going to have to pay more. One thing. Also, when the driver needs to go by the house, you need to get him home. And I think that's probably the biggest downfall is taking care of home time. Can't get drivers to do that. What do you call me? I don't know. When I wanted to go home, I went home. You know, I mean, I think it's one of this too, is as drivers, we need to understand that if you don't do a good job, then they're not going to do a good job. So you do your job the best you can. And sometimes maybe you think you're doing a good job, but you're not. You know, I always had drivers that, you know, I would tell them, listen, we got a problem. And he's like, I had no idea. And it's like, well, yeah, that's the reason why I'm telling you. You know, you need to know this is a problem, you know. And a lot of problems is that they run about 2,000 miles a week, week to week. And I'm like, that's not enough. You need to run more. And they're like, I didn't know that was a problem. And they weren't concerned about their money. You know, a lot of people do truck driving. They're already retired from one job, you know, and they're sometimes they get into trucking just so they can have a job. They really don't have to work that hard. That's probably one of the main reasons that they get truck driving. And so, yeah. But other than that, you know, it's one of those things where, to me, I think it boils down to drivers understanding what they want. And you need to make sure you voice your opinion of what you want, and you need to make your supervisors or carriers or whoever, that you make them voice their opinion to what they want. It's communication. You need to communicate that, you know, because a lot of times they want you to work your ass off, and you need to explain to them, I know that you think I'm not doing a good job, but listen, the numbers say I am, you know, and so know your numbers, you know. And as a company driver, same way, know your numbers. And you might think, what numbers do I need to know as a company driver? You need to know how many miles you're driving. You need to know how much fuel you're using compared to, like, you know, normal deal. And that's even like if you have an APU or you idle at all or whatever like that, know all that stuff. Know your idle percentage, because that all right there looks at you. As a company driver, they want to know how much you idle. They want to know how much fuel you're buying. They want to know how much time you're spending down. Like if you're one of those drivers like me, I was one of those drivers where I like to run until 2 o'clock in the morning and then sleep till noon and then go shower, have lunch and get on the road. Sometimes I didn't get on the road till 3, which means I ran till, you know, 1 or 2 in the morning again, you know? So that's what I like doing. And, sometimes you might get a little late and then you lose a half a day or something because of traffic or something like that. So it's always, you know, what are they considered to be good? What are, you know, I ran 500 miles a day on every day I ran, at least. Sometimes I ran more, but I made sure I had 500 miles. You know, if I ran a load that was short, I was always on their ass, get me a load so I can keep running. And they're like, well, we're working on it. And I said, well, listen, I'm trying to get miles. And because of them, I would not get the miles, the 500 miles each day like I wanted. So I would have to make that up on the other days. As long as you're focused on yourself and knowing how many miles you're running, then you can go to them saying, look, this is what I do. I do good work, you know, and then of course, delivering on time, showing up when you say you're going to show up, all that's your numbers as a company driver. So yeah, it's knowing your numbers, you know, as an owner operator, it's expenses. But owner operators, same way, if you're leased onto a carrier and you think you're doing a good job, you know, but they don't look at your expenses to know whether or not you're doing a good job. They look at your performance to them, like just like what we're talking about for company drivers, how many miles you're running, you know, how much time you're taking time off, you know, all that kind of stuff. So those different kind of things is what they talk about. So, you know, you just don't know. And unless you actually are communicating to them what they want, and then you communicate to them what you want. A lot of drivers come into the orientations thinking exactly what they want because they assume that the recruiter they talked to come work for that company told them exactly what they wanted to hear, and they didn't communicate their concerns with anybody else. And then when they get there, they get pissed off because it's like, that's not what the recruiter told me. And he's like, well, I wouldn't hold too much of what the recruiter told you. He probably didn't lie to you, but he didn't actually tell the whole truth either. So watch all that. So that's what we're talking about here on Redneck and Eyes Radio. Like I said, we're here live every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. You can call in at 515-602-9731. Don't forget to go subscribe to our YouTube channel. You can find the links to that on our website, redneckandeyes.com, which we also have a store where we got T-shirts and decals for the trucks and all kinds of stuff. So check that out. Like I said, redneckandeyes.com. Don't forget to go check out one of our great sponsors, and that's Trucker Tools. Download the Trucker Tools app. You can check them out at truckertools.com. And they've been a great supporter for the last couple of years, since actually 2019, 2020. But then COVID shut everything down. So, you know, we've been trying to help them out the best we can during that time. But they've been great people to us. So we can't thank them enough for helping us out over here at Redneck and Eyes. And so when you talk to Trucker Tools, let them know you appreciate them supporting Redneck and Eyes, because we really do appreciate them. So, yeah, we're just going to keep rocking and rolling here. This is Redneck and Eyes Radio. Hang tight.
Sometimes late at night, I see your picture by the dashboard light. It takes me where I'd like to be, wrapped up in a blanket there, pulling ribbons from your hair and your kiss. Girl, that's what I miss. Still I drive these horses through the rain and snow. This high-speed rodeo is all I know. I'm in Nashville, cowboy, born to run underneath the stars. Pay no mind to my lonely heart. I just ride till I'm back in your arms again. I'll be out here on the wind. Bingo! Yeah,
the boondocks, we buy beer and Amoco. And crank out crack those speakers with that country radio. We let it blow. Well, we got the money, let it blow. Yeah, we got the gas, we get the wild. Yeah, but that's the way we get down.
We ain't finished yet.
Got your country boys and your redneck girl. It's a party heard round the world. Right here in Jigtown. Yeah,
hey there, truckers. Welcome to Redneck and I, all things trucking and then some. Hope you enjoy the show.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Hey, this is Ed with Redneck and I's Radio. We're here live on, it's Sunday. Just kind of taking it easy. Kind of where everybody's at. You can call us in, 515-602-9731. Be part of the conversation, just hit 1. If you don't mind, go check it out, our YouTube channel. Go subscribe to our YouTube channel. We appreciate everybody doing that. You can find links to all that at redneckandeyes.com. And before we go any further, I thank one of our great sponsors, and that's LTR, Load to Ride Transportation. You can check them out at ltrtransportation.com, or you can give them a call at 720-277-0030. That's a great, good-sized trucking outfit out of Denver, Colorado. And all the drivers I know over there, they say they're busy. They're drop-dead busy, and they're always got something going on. So give them a holler, like I said, at 720-277-0030. Or check them out at ltrtransportation.com. And when you talk to them, tell them you appreciate them supporting Redneck and I, because we really do appreciate them. So we're just kicking back, find out what everybody's doing tonight and see how things are going. And me, I, like I said, I've been out riding. And I got a 2020 Harley-Davidson Breakout with the 131 in it. And I was talking to one of the other riders out there the other day, and I said, yeah, at about fourth gear at 5,000 RPMs, which is probably pretty high. And usually about 3,500 to 3,800 RPMs is a good cruising speed. When I'm in fifth gear at 3,800 RPMs, I'm doing about 75, and that's good. But at 5,000 RPMs in fourth gear, I'm doing 100 or more, and I still got two gears left. So I've done, you know, down here in South Texas, what people don't see all the time is South Texas, man, there's these wide open roads where you could see the road flat for at least, I mean, over the horizon, the road is flat.
and you can see it. And then if you've been on the road before, I wouldn't recommend going too fast on any road that you've never been on before, because yeah, there are some spots, you know, it's, you never know. So you take it easy, you learn the road, and then you see where all the little, you know, humpity humps are that make you have a little problems with, maybe you need to avoid the little skips or whatever in the road, and sometimes some slick spots where the asphalt's kind of eroded away and that kind of stuff. So you do that, and then you can get up pretty good. But when you're out driving a big truck down here in South Texas, it's not that big of a deal, because every freaking road they make, I mean, there are not that many roads out there that have no trucks, because it's all the farm to market roads, which the whole concept of that is to be able to take trucks or tractors or whatever down to the farm, load them up with all of the farm goods that you got, whether it be cattle or crops, and be able to take it to the market. So that was the whole concept. And when they built a lot of these roads, even when they had to, you know, when they were too small, when they upgraded them to make sure they can handle the trucks, I mean, they got wide shoulders, they're heavy where they could take the weight, they redid the bridges, a lot of stuff. I mean, it's rare. You'll see it every now and then. I'm not going to say it's not perfect, but every now and then you'll see it to where they say there's a weight restriction on the bridge, or there is even maybe a weight restriction on the road itself. And a lot of times, if you're ever in a car or in a big truck sometimes, I mean, sometimes the weight restriction, it's like if I'm empty, I'm not violating the weight restriction. It's not a weight restriction of the vehicle. Like, you know, if it's a big truck and you can haul 80,000, it's not saying that truck can't go down that road. It's saying that as long as you're underweight, as long as the weight of the truck doesn't exceed the weight restriction. So if you're, you know, empty, hauling a 53-foot van, you know, what is it? What does it all come out to, like 35, 37? So as long as you're under, a lot of them have it where they say they don't want anything more than 40 or 45, nothing over 45 gross, that kind of thing. A lot of times it'll say nothing over 27, which I see that a lot. And what that is telling you, they don't want big trucks. They don't take a big truck down there, because even in a big truck empty, it's not that light. So they always say that you could take straight trucks or small combinations like, you know, with a day cab and a short trailer delivering locally, what do they call it? The old ones, Saia, Central Freight, those deals. And then you got UPS doing that, and FedEx doing that a lot too. So a lot of things, but yeah, they got the weight restrictions. And a lot of times if you ride on those roads and you see the weight restriction, a lot of times those roads, maybe the shoulder's not that big, or there might be some ducking and diving where the road might have some hard curves to it that you might not be able to take it, you know, 50, 55 miles an hour in a big truck. So that's probably the main reason why they have that restriction. Not necessarily for the weight, but maybe just for the room. Because we know in California, that's the main deal. Like, I've been on roads in California where the big truck, we can't make those curves unless we're taking up the whole road. That's just the way it is. And so that's how that works out a lot of times. But what do you call – I was talking about earlier, talking about, you know, getting things done and knowing your numbers and taking care of business. So I found this deal here, CDLLife.com. Again, sometimes they come up with the craziest stuff, and it is funny because, I mean, really what they want you to do is they want you to click. If you've ever been on CDLLife.com, you know, it's full of ads, and that's their main point is to make sure that they can actually create traffic so that people want to put their products, advertise their products on their website. And to create traffic, sometimes you got to come up with some of the crazy stuff. So this one here, the headline is court rules that trucker may contest unfair seizure of 39,500 at airport during business trip. And it's just got a picture in it. It says here, the Arizona Court of Appeals has ruled that a trucking company owner may contest the civil forfeiture of $39,500 at an airport during a business trip. So you're wondering, what the hell? How's that happen? My first thought also, too, is that he's at the Court of Appeals, and he's probably spending more money to get this $39,000 back than if he just let it go. But, hey, you know, it's the principle of the thing. And it's Jerry Johnson, owner of Triple J Logistics out of Charlotte, North Carolina. He flew to Phoenix, Arizona in August of 2020. Man, August of 2020. Intending to purchase a semi-truck at an auction with the $39,500 in cash he brought with him. When he landed in Phoenix, police flagged Johnson as a probable drug courier, quote unquote. And that's where the trouble started. Once landed, Johnson headed to collect his check baggage. Well, that's her first mistake. And he was approached by a law enforcement officer in plain clothes who questioned him about transporting drugs and about the money in his bag. Johnson told the officer that he had no drugs and that the money was from his personal savings and from an uncle. But the officer told him that his cash had smelled like marijuana. And law enforcement was suspicious of money laundering, reported News 12. It says, officer then told Johnson that he could either sign a disclaimer of ownership or be arrested for money laundering. Johnson then signed the paper, not realizing that it meant that he had illegally surrendered the ownership of his money. Having lost his money, Johnson was unable to attend the truck auction, buy a truck, and headed home the next day. Police cited Johnson's history of marijuana and cocaine and odor of marijuana coming from the cash, and the fact that Johnson was unsure of the exact amount of money in his bag as reasons to seize the money. Okay, so that's, I guess they told the court, they told the judge, hey, you know, we looked him up and he has a history of marijuana and cocaine, I guess use or selling or what, I don't know. And then, of course, they did have the, they said there was an odor of marijuana, you know, and I don't know, if it's that faint, I don't know. To me, that's what's so funny to me. Who knows drugs better than anybody? Cops. Cops know drugs better than anybody. You know, if you want to, you're like, you know, hey, I don't know exactly what that is. I know what that is. That's drugs, you know. And you're like, well, they're, and so you're asking the question, well, is that because they come in contact with it during their job or because they're out there doing it and selling it and making money? Or who's the actual drug dealer here, right? And I think that was odd that he was unsure of the exact amount of money in his bag, that he didn't know exactly how much he had. Now, that's the thing. Now, I would make sure if I was transporting a lot of cash and I was had that cash sitting somewhere where I was going to use it for something, I would know exactly what's in there. So note to self, everybody out there, if you're traveling with a lot of cash, make sure that if you've got that cash put somewhere or whatever, you know, I mean, I can understand having, you know, $200 or $300 in your wallet and not knowing exactly how much is in there, you know, because you're spending it as it goes. It's in your wallet, you know, but if you got an envelope with money in it and you don't know exactly what's in there, yeah, you probably need to know. It says, although officers never charged Johnson with a crime, authorities sought ownership of the money through paperwork filings, and the Arizona trial court ruled that Johnson failed to prove the cash was his. And so he could not contest the civil forfeiture of his money. Johnson objected and requested a hearing in Superior Court. Now, see, you can't prove it's yours. Well, where was it found? It was in his bag, but we don't know if it was his or not. He signed a paper saying it was his, but we're not really sure if it was his or not. Come on. You know, that's the stupid crap right there. That's why do we not like government for crap like that, you know? So anyway, the Maricopa County Superior Court then ruled that the lower court had mistakenly placed the burden of proving the cash wasn't connected to the crime on Johnson, to a crime on Johnson. Now, see, that's the other thing. A lot of the laws, the way the laws are written, is that the burden of proof is on the state. They have to prove. It's kind of like if you were at home, most of my stuff I know about is firearms because the burden of proof is on the state whether or not you intended to shoot somebody. You know, it's kind of like, you know, if you're at home and somebody broke into your house and you shot them in the foot, you know, or you shot and killed them, you know, their burden of proof had to prove that you weren't defending yourself. They just had, you have to assume that you were defending yourself, that kind of thing. So anyway, the burden of proving that property is connected to criminal activity is the subject to forfeiture is a burden placed squarely on the state. See, they have to prove that the crime was being committed with the money, and they couldn't do that. And I mean, it's like he didn't have to prove that he wasn't committing a crime. They had to prove he was. And a lot of times, I don't know, man, you know, some lawyers can tell me, oh, that's not how it is. I disagree.
that they'll pull the shady, they'll pull the wool over your eyes and do whatever they want, especially when it comes to 39. Ain't no, who you think got that money? That's what I want to know, right? They probably went out and did exactly what I was talking about earlier. They probably went on the catalog and ordered a bunch of new lights for all their squad cars. says the court ruling states, by shifting this burden to Johnson, the court violated due process. Well, of course they did. Today's decision points out the obvious. Jerry Johnson properly proved ownership of his money and has the right to defend it in court, said it. The attorney, what is it? Yeah, that's okay. That's his attorney. And his Alexa, what is it called? Is that Gervasi? I'm probably saying it wrong. I don't know. Says the scales are already tipped in the government's favor in civil forfeiture, but the lower court went outside the bounds of Arizona law when it forced Jerry to prove his own innocence. We are glad that Jerry will have his day in court to defend against the unjust forfeiture of his savings, of his life savings. Arizona state officials now have 30 days to appeal the ruling of the Arizona Supreme Court. If no appeal is made, the government will have to prove that Johnson's money was connected to a crime or return it to him, reported the Institute of Justice. The government has 30 days to appeal the court ruling. If it does not appeal the case, go back to the trial court, and the government will have to prove or return it. Let's see. This is, okay, yes, last one here. It says, it's wrong that I could lose my money even though I've never been charged with a crime, said Jerry. Losing my savings has been hard on my trucking company. It kept me from expanding my vehicle fleet at a critical time during the pandemic, but it's a big relief that I'll have the chance to get my money back. And this is what goes down to it right here. I think one of the things I think about in here is all of the other, like, big corporations that have cash, that have the capital to be able to do something, and then they they can do it. And there's nothing over their head. Excuse me. Sorry about that. Yeah, okay. So to me, there's nothing over their head saying that they can't do it. But as a small business owner, you know, it's a lot of, I don't have the money. I can't do it. I don't have the money, you know. And you want me to help, but I don't have the money. I want to go expand my business, but I don't have the money. And this person here had the money. I don't know of any other way he could have done that, because a lot of places, if you have a cat, let's say if you had a cashier's check, would the place he's going to, they might have accepted the cashier's check. Could he have just had a personal check? Like, say there's that money in the bank, will you take a check? I don't know if he checked that out. Like, you call up the people, like, you're going to this auction, find out what they want, how they take it. How do you take the money? Will you take a check, take a cashier's check? What will you take, you know? And if, let's say that you had $39,500 in the bank, I got a cashier's check for $39,500. If I buy the truck for $37,000, how do I get my money back? What do y'all do? You know, can y'all refund that money to me? And a lot of places, I don't know, they probably could. You know, they could probably do a bank transfer easier than you could, you know. It's one of them things where we could set up a wire. You know, some places have that set up right away where we can wire money. We can do that. We can call your bank. I've had that happen where I made a deal and I said, I don't have any way of giving you the money today, but the money's in the bank. All you need to do, we can set up the wire now. You can call the bank. And that's what they did. They set it up as like a wire transfer, but it was going to take a couple of days. But they actually talked to the bank, and the bank says, he's got the money. We're doing it now. We'll send it. It's on its way. You know, it's kind of like they talk to the bank. So yeah, you know, it could be worked out. I don't know. He's just got to communicate, I bet, you know. Since he didn't do that, he probably assumed that he could pay cash. A lot of people just, you know, I mean, just like Jerry here, Jerry probably just figured, you know, it's cash. Who cares? Nah, they care these days. It's a smelled of marijuana. Isn't there some kind of rumor going around that most of all the money in the U.S. has, like, traces of cocaine in the money, you know? So, yeah, I mean, you know, at some point that money was probably used in drug use, or drug trafficking. I, you know, no, that's no problem, you know? What did John Goodman do in flight? when he walked into the hotel room to try to sober up Denzel Washington. He said, "I need a $100 bill." And he's, "Oh, I got a 20. Oh, that'll work." It's like, what do you need a $100 bill? All he did was he rolled it up so that he could snort it. That's all he did. You know, you could use a $1 bill for that. Not going to hurt you. He wanted a $100 bill. Why? I don't know. So, yeah. But that kind of stuff is, it's, you know, this is why we hate government, because of this right here. You know, there is a big thing. There was a couple of times people remember where the, who was it? I forgot now. The guy that did a lot of, what's his name? John Stossel. You know, he's a libertarian guy. And he did a lot of stuff about, you know, government overstepping their bounds. And a lot of it was where they were seizing property from people. And then that property would end up in the government's ownership. You know, this one guy, they suspected him of, you know, trafficking drugs in Oklahoma somewhere, Tulsa, I think it was. And he had a Cadillac Escalade and a Lexus or whatever. And he was very wealthy, but they accused him of trafficking drugs, and they had warrants, and they seized his property. And then, like, you know, a month later, he said, no, that's wrong, and the lawyers got it figured out. And they said, yeah, we don't have any proof. You know, that's fine. Well, they kept the vehicles. They didn't give them back. They said, now that you had so much time, and that time lapsed, so now they're ours. It's like they just kept them. And next thing you know, you see the Escalade running around with, like, police lights in it. It's now part of their gang task force. Come on now. You know, come on. So now the local cops, sheriff's part, whatever it was, they have an Escalade in their task force that they didn't pay anything for. You know, so yeah, that's crap. But anyway, what else you got? I don't know. I was flipping through here and there ain't much going on. But there's a missing driver. They found him. They were, I don't know, it's a lot of individual stuff going on here. The U.S. Express right here, let's see what this says. U.S. Express, is this U.S. Express like, yeah, this is like U.S. Express, like the over-the-road company, the trucking company out of Chattanooga. It says that it's cutting 5% of its corporate workforce. Well, that's corporate workforce. Said the decision is to cut about 70 of its 1,400 office employees working mainly in the information technology, company operations, and back office support was necessary for the health of the long-term success of the business. I don't know. To me, technology is a big part of this. Technology is saying, you know, hey, and a lot of it is a lot of fluff. I mean, sometimes it's like they've got an assistant's got an assistant, all that crap, you know. It's stuff like they have a permits department, okay? And instead of having 12 people in the permits department, we only got 10 people in the permits department. You know, those people are in charge of calling states, making sure the permits are kept up to date when there are special permits needed, all that. A lot of times you don't need that many people doing that stuff. You know, it's an annual thing. You get real busy during the first part of the year, whatever, or at the end of the year. But during the year, it doesn't really, you know, you're constantly just trying to make sure, like one of our biggest things was, is that we had one big permit department and I was at Swift. Everybody knows I was at Swift. There was the huge permit department in Phoenix, Arizona. And they actually, in the dispatch offices, department had its own window. And if you needed permits, a lot of times drivers, if you were out over the road, you took the opportunity of being at the Phoenix terminal to go see the permit department. Well, a lot of times you take that permit book. Everybody knows this huge book, right? Nowadays, it's not that big. I don't know if they need that big of a book anymore. Back in the day, it used to be, had a piece of paper for everything, stickers, whatever. Well, what you would do is when you got there and you filled up the truck and you went and parked and you're fixing to go inside and take a shower, get something to eat. Before you did that, you walked over to the permits window and you gave them the book. And they said, in about an hour or two, we'll have it all done for you. And what it would be is they would go through and they would update everything. Take out the old stuff, put in the new stuff. I don't even know if they do that anymore. But that was a cool part of the permits department. And, you know, it's one of those things where you got enough people working in an office, you don't need that many, you know. You know, it's probably their benefits. It might even be their insurance side of it, to where they're like accident claims and all that.
you know, when you get technology where it becomes faster and you don't need that many people to do it, we had, when I first became in the training department, it was funny to me that they sent me to Phoenix to get trained to be, to work the permits department, or to work, not permits, to work the training department. And the training department was, is that not only were you placing students with the trainers, but you're also making sure they did their paperwork. And when their paperwork came in, you made sure that paperwork was processed and scanned properly and all that. So there's a lot of stuff that needed to be done. But the funny thing was, is when I'm in Phoenix learning how to do it, it was easy. And there was not that much work to do. And you know why? Because they had six people in there doing it. Okay. Now, granted, they had a lot more trainers, a lot more students. I understand that. When I, so there's six people. When I get back to my office in Dallas, there's only two people, but there's still, I say, about maybe 60 to 70% of the work. But there's only two people. So we were always running ragged, staying late and everything. Those people over there, they took 2-hour lunches, and they were part of corporate. So they were always like giving that pat on the back saying, you know, don't work too hard. Kind of thing, you know. But if you worked in another location from the corporate office, you know, now you need to make do because the numbers bear out that you don't need that many people and all that, you know, and everything. So when I see them saying they're laying off corporate people that work in their corporate office, their main office, I'm not too concerned about that. It's not a big deal. It's not a big deal. That should happen. In fact, I would look at a company to go work for a company. If I was looking at companies to go work for, and I saw a company laying off its corporate people like that, I'd be like, you know what? Good. Because they're not, I mean, they said specifically, it's like no drivers, no service centers, no maintenance roles, nothing that revolves in the everyday trucking business. You know, it's all about the back office stuff. And that's fine. That's fine. Because technology today, you know, you could even probably find somebody to do a lot of that stuff if you work from home and pay them less money and they don't have to come to the office, you know, especially when everything's done online now. Everything is emailed over, you know, scanned in, all that stuff, you know, even like the paperwork. Drivers, remember when you had to actually like take the paperwork, put it in an envelope, and then send it in, and then the envelope had to be opened? And see, these went to the carrier. The carrier would receive the paperwork, scan the paperwork into their system in their office, and then that was how they got paid. Nowadays, it's all done on computer. When you walk into the truck stop, or you can even do it from the truck, scan it. It's in the system. There's no longer need to have somebody actually opening up envelopes at the corporate office. They don't need that no more. That job has been eliminated. Now it's all done on computers. So the person actually doing the billing doesn't even have to worry about it being scanned because it just got scanned by the driver. And you can say what you want about that, but it works because it's all over the place now. You can do it on your phone. The TransFlow is on your phone. Okay. All the big companies do that now. You scan on your phone. They even have scanners on the truck. There's scanners in every truck stop, all that stuff. So yeah, eliminating corporate positions at the back office of a big corporate company like that ain't no big deal to me. It's 70 out of 1,400. That's not a lot. So boom. Yep. But I think that's going to be about it for me, man. I tell you what, we're just humping right along here. And let me snap the next one. You know what? It was something on my mind. I was listening to the radio this morning when we were out on our breakfast ride, and I was to the radio, and the guitar riff on this song just gets you pumping. I'm telling you right there, boom. That's awesome. So that is the radio station I was listening to. It's kind of a classic rock station, and they do, I don't know who does it. It's like one of their things where it's a syndication, and they do like a countdown, but they do a countdown on past years. And the year was 1976. And of course they do a lot of stuff where they'll do some commercials, and they did a commercial of that Meow Mix. And it was like, you know how, remember how it was? It was the cats singing meow. You know, I mean, meow, 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 you know, and I'm like, how did we not get tired of that? If that was on the internet right now, we'd be freaking screaming right now. I was like, shut that cat up. But what do you call
they were doing all that, and I was just laughing, enjoying all that stuff on the radio while I was out riding. And this song came on, man, and I was jamming. I was jamming. The riders behind me, you know, they saw me. I would sometimes take my left hand off, and I was, you know, I was moving my hands around. I was jamming. And this is great music. So, yeah. Eagles, buddy. Yeah, good stuff there, good stuff. So go ahead and check out our website, redneckandeyes.com. We're here live every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. You can call in at 515-602-9731. And it's a call-in radio show. Be part of the conversation. Just hit one. We're also doing our little live show here. This is on Sundays. I'm kind of laid back, talking about whatever, you know, relaxing. We're not on any kind of YouTube Live or Facebook Live or anything, but I do record it for YouTube to place on later. And I did jump on YouTube real quick just to see if make sure it worked, because my camera wasn't operating right, so we're good now. But want everybody to go check out one of our great sponsors. That's DPF Regeneration. You can check them out, dpfregeneration.com. make sure you go give them a call if you need any kind of particulate filters. If you got any diesel sized truck, diesel engine, just that's it, you know, big trucks, pickup trucks, whatever. Give them a call, 800-634-3010. They're open Monday through Friday, 7:30 to 6 p.m., or Saturday, 7:30 to 4 p.m., and they're out of Connecticut, so it's East Coast time you're talking about there. DPF Regeneration is their website, dpfregeneration.com. And when you talk to them, make sure you let them know you appreciate them supporting Redneck and I, because we really do appreciate them. What do you call we're going to call it a day. Everything seems to be rocking and rolling here, but we're having a lot of fun, and just talking about what's life on the road and how you do things, how you take care of problems, and what else is going on out there. And if you got anything to say, give me a holler. But like I said, we're here every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. We're also the women of Redneck and Eyes is every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Same number, 515-602-9731. And those are on there's a Facebook Live on that all the time. Or call in, like I said, 515-602-9731. And then we will upload the video later to YouTube. And but we're trying to be on YouTube as much as possible. Hopefully, we'll be on YouTube all the time. That's the main goal. Because then that'll be where we can be out there, and just everything about YouTube is our thing, because we got some pretty good YouTube videos out there if you haven't seen them yet, talking about the interaxle locking differential. That's one of our biggest videos. Talking about the ins and outs of the lease purchase, that's one of another big deal, a big video we're talking about. We got a lot of videos talking to the four-wheelers, explaining to them how they should be driving around big trucks, and that's a big thing for us. It's like, you know, if the drivers, if the four-wheelers would just do right, just drive better, that would probably be more fun for us to be handled it, because that's one of the things, is that we're out there and we want to do something, but we're unsure of what the four-wheeler is going to be doing. So we kind of hesitate, and that hesitation, that's bad. So, you know, we hate it when four-wheelers are riding right next to us on an interstate. We hate it when a four-wheeler is riding directly behind us, or even in the other lane off to the left. If the truck's in the right lane and the four-wheeler's in the left lane and they're just riding behind us like that, that's the worst, because we're like, are you going to pass me or are you not? You know, what's going on? And then, of course, it's about getting on and off the off-ramp and on-ramps. Just always remember that whichever vehicle is on the big road, that vehicle has the right-of-way. So if you're on the highway and there's somebody coming on the on-ramp, Okay. If you can get out of the way, that's great. We always want to make sure but make sure you understand that you have the right of way. So if you're on the on ramp and you're coming on, nobody is supposed to get out of your way. Nobody has to get out of your way. They can if they're able to safely, but you have to make sure that you merge into that traffic on your own. It's your job to make sure you can either speed up or slow down and merge into that traffic on your own. It's not everyone else's job to let you in. Okay. As a truck driver, I'll tell you, that's the worst thing is like, I can back off, but I can't back off that much. Sometimes I can get over, more than likely I can't get over. Okay. And of course, a lot of these days you see a lot of these construction issues going on to where they're actually making merge lanes with these on-ramps. Instead of the on-ramp just coming onto to the right lane, it's like where the on-ramp merges into a lane. And eventually that lane becomes an exit so that there's a merge process there. That's great because then we can allow people to speed up or slow down. I always tell people all the time, once you are on the on-ramp, it's like a launching pad. You need to go. You need to get up to highway speed. I was told that in truck driving school, that as a truck driver, you need to get up to highway speed before you get on the freeway. That was written in the book. Okay. A lot of times though, the ramps, the on ramps are not that long, right? Or they're just right there. Boom. In Texas, remember back in the day, everything was like just right there. it's like if you had to be doing 55 miles an hour on the service road in order to be able to make the merge because the little on ramp was probably about 10 feet long. That's crazy. So they fixed that a lot. A lot of them are not that fixed yet, but we're working on them. And of course, we don't want in the off ramp same way. If you're coming on the off ramp. If you're on the service road and you see a big truck exiting on the off-ramp, that truck has the right-of-way. Don't just because you're on the road and that big truck is coming onto your road, because it's an off-ramp going onto a service road, the vehicle, whichever vehicle is on the highway, has the right-of-way. So if they're coming off, that's how that works. So, yeah. I explain all that in the video. So that kind of thing, I don't know. I can get wound up about that. It's crazy. I can just go. But other than that, we're just going to hold it out here, and hopefully next time we'll have some other stuff to talk about. Appreciate everybody listening along. And don't forget, like I said, go subscribe to our YouTube channel. Appreciate everybody doing that. Check our website. Links to all that are on our website, redneckandeyes.com. And one of our other great sponsors, and that's Trucker Tools, truckertools.com, the app for truckers. You can download their app on the app stores, Trucker Tools. Their logo is pretty cool. It's a circle with like two T's. It looks like a one T, but it's actually two. And then and don't forget to go check out LTR Transportation, Load to Ride Transportation. We really appreciate all their support because they got a bunch of great drivers over there, and we got to meet a lot of them during the truck show, and it's been a lot of fun. So go check those guys out. But until next time, like I said, we're going to close it out here with some Joe Walsh, Rocky Mountain Way. This is a great guitar riff. I love listening to it. And just hope everybody has a great time there today. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday evening. We'll see you tomorrow evening, 7 o'clock Eastern time. So go check that out. And that's Redneck and I's Radio, 515-602-9731. Appreciate everybody's support. So until then, stay safe, stay successful, keep it between the ditches, and we'll see you out there on the road.